Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're studying 2 Samuel right now in our Bible readings, and it's in lesson number 52, I believe. And we're talking about David's coming back to the throne of Israel after his son Absalom had tried to overthrow him and to kill him. And now, in chapter number 21, we have famine in the land. Now, there was famine in the days of David for 3 years. Year after year, David sought the presence of the Lord, and the Lord said, "It is for Saul in his bloody house, because he put the Gibeonites to death." Now, God is protecting people. And he calls account what people have done. And there was famine in the land, not because that there wasn't any rain or anything, because God's displeasure. And so David called upon God and asked him, "Why are you doing this? What have I done wrong?" And he said, "It's because of Saul's bloody house and how he put the Gibeonites to death." And the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not the sons of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites. And the sons of Israel made a covenant with them. But Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the sons of Israel and Judah. Thus David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? How can I make this right? How can I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" Then the Gibeonites said to him, We have no concern of silver or gold with Saul or his house, nor is it for us to put any man to death in Israel." And he said, "I will do whatever you say." So they said to the king, "The man who consumed us and who planned to exterminate us from remaining within any border of Israel, let 7 men from his sons be given to us, and we will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, the chosen of the Lord." And the king said, "I will give them." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the oath of the Lord which he had between them and between David and Saul's son Jonathan. So the king took 2 sons of Rizpah and the daughter of Alah, Armoni, and Mephibosheth, whom she had borne to Saul, and the 5 sons of Merab, the daughter of Saul, whom she had borne to Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Mehelathite. Then he gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the mountain before the Lord, so that the 7 of them fell together. And they were put to death in the first days of harvest, at the beginning of the barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Atah, took a sackcloth and spread it out for herself on the rock. And from the beginning of the harvest until it rained on them from the sky, and she allowed neither the birds of the sky to rest on them by day, nor beasts of the field by night. When it was told to David that Rizpah, the daughter of Alah, or Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done, then David went out and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan and his son from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, who had stolen them from the open square of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them on the day of the Philistines struck down Saul in Gibeah. And he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged. And they buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son in the country of Benjamin, in Zelah, in the grave of Kish his father. And thus they did all the king commanded. And after that God moved by entreaty for the land. A lot of things that we read in the Bible we don't understand at all. But karma. Karma. Paybacks. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it happened to Saul's sons. Saul's sons suffered for what Saul did. And in the Bible, we have things that is not a contradiction, but it said the son shall not suffer for what the sins of the father. And the father shall not suffer for sins of the son. But God commanded this. You do this. Now they're going to have war with the Philistines. That's the next thing. And these Philistines, guess who these are? Among the great warriors of the Philistines are what? Marilyn, you remember? What was Goliath? He was the Nephilim. And there's four more of them. Four more of his brothers. So let's look at this now. Now when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David went down and his servants with him. And they fought against the Philistines, and David became weary. Then Ishbi-benob, who was among the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight, was girded with a new sword, and he intended to kill David. This is one of Saul's, or not Saul's, but Goliath's brothers. Now, when David went out against Goliath, he slew the Goliath, didn't he? How many stones did he take? He took 5 stones because there were 5 of them. And he was going to kill them all at once.
Yeah.
And he knew that God would be with him supernaturally. And now here David is later in his life. And he's going to go out. And this man, this Ishbi-benob, this giant, this Nephilim, Goliath's brother, is going to kill David. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall not go out again with us to battle, that you may not extinguish the lamp of Israel." They were afraid that David would be killed. And he's the king. That's God's man. And this giant almost killed David. Ishbi-benob. Now it came about after this that the war was again with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sabica, the Hushathite, struck down Saph. Here is another one. Saph is another one. This is another one of the giants who was among the descendants of the giant. We have Goliath, we have Ishbi-benob, and well, we have Saph. All brothers of Goliath, all giants, all Nephilim. Now in Genesis the 6th chapter said the Nephilim walked the earth. And the flood came because of the Nephilim and all the wicked things that they were doing. If you read the book of Enoch, you'll find out some of the things that they were doing. It was this, they were, the giants were killing people and eating them and drinking their blood. You don't talk about a history of vampires. These are the ones. But it says that the flood killed them all, but there were Nephilim before the flood and Nephilim after the flood. And we know who Goliath was. Now we know who Ishbi-benob was. And now we know who this Zaph is. Verse number 19 now. And there was war with the Philistines at Gob. And Ethanan, the son of Jairi-Oregim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. There was war at Gath again. There was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. Goliath had six fingers and six toes. All of his brothers had six fingers and six toes. 24 in number, and he also had been born to the what? To the giant. The word is Rapha, a Rephaim. These are the Nephilim. And now when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, struck him down. These four were born to the giant in Gath. And they all fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. All fell by the hand of David and his servants. All of these were Nephilim. You know, I saw a Bigfoot here about 1986. Down the road here about 9 miles. And I was struck. I was absolutely in shock. I was terrified when I saw the thing. I saw a man walking, what I thought was a man walking. We had got my son Jimmy and I were out there at the hot well taking a bath. And we started going toward the road, Highway 264. And I looked over there and out in the horizon, and it was nighttime, dark. I could see a human walking. I thought it was a man walking. And I watched it. I didn't say anything to my son. My son was talking. He was talking about something. I don't know what. I was looking at this guy. And I said in my mind, well, he's coming this way. He's broke down out there because the road goes over the hill to Silver Peak. And maybe somebody was broke down up there and maybe they're looking to get back. Maybe it's one of the residents of Fish Lake Valley. Except it looked pretty tall. Out, you know, he was a couple hundred yards, 300 yards away from me. Well, I knew the road went up like this and came back down. And I said, well, if that guy knows this country, he's going to cut across. Because he looked like he was doing it. It looked like he was trying to cut me off. And if he needed help, I would have helped him. We'd have gone back. We'd have done whatever we needed to. It was about midnight. Well, anyway, I got down there, and here we came up with here, and we came out down over this mountain, and here this guy was walking across the road. Except it wasn't a human. He was about 8 foot tall or so. Tall and thin. All hair all over it, but the hair was short and the color of a deer, kind of a bluish gray. And its head was looking away from me. He was walking like away from me, looking away. I was on this side, like over that. And he was walking like this, walking across the road. Didn't look at me. He just walked across the road. And maybe at the most 50 yards away. Walked across the road right in the headlights. I was driving really slow. I was just shocked. I didn't have any room in my head. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe man come from monkeys, and I don't believe the Bigfoots are missing links. And I knew that in my head. Except I'm seeing this thing. What is this thing? And I looked as that thing walked the road. Dust was coming off his hair, swinging his arms. He'd been rolling in alkali dust. I could see him, the long strides he was taking. And all this registered within an instant of my mind. I got up there where it was, which wasn't very far. And I stopped the car where I walked across the road. And I said, Jimmy, did you see anything across the road here? He said, what'd you see? I said, what'd you see? He said, what'd you see? I said, what'd you do? And he grabbed the spotlight. I had a .44 Magnum sitting in the seat. I used that thing to shoot coyotes and jackrabbits and stuff, and rattlesnakes. Anyway, he grabbed the spotlight, and I put his hand down. I said, leave it alone. And I took off. He said, Dad, let's get out and see if it left any tracks. I said, no. Let's get out of here. Now, Jimmy had seen me kill wild hogs with a 22 pistol. He watched me kill three of them one time. And a guy that was with me, another pastor, was saying, "You're going to get killed, you crazy Indian." I was out there in this field with these wild hogs with my 22 Smith & Wesson pistol. Six shooter. And I shot one. Big Russian wild boar. He fell down like he's dead. I shot another 500-pound boar. He fell down dead. And then I shot a sow, and she squealed and charged me, and I shot her again. She fell down dead. I stabbed both of those with a stabbing knife, and then here come the black Russian wild boar. Big thing like porcupine quills on. And I shot him, three times then. And then I shot him six more times. And then I shot him six more times. And this preacher's hollering at me, "Get out of there. Get out. He's going to kill you. He's going to rip you up, you crazy Indian." I said, "Don't worry about it." Well, I killed him and I stabbed him. And then I stood on him with my head on his, my foot on his head and one on his body. And I stabbed him like that. And he jumped up and he shot me up about 6 feet off the ground. When he jumped up, and I hit the ground running, and he was right after me. But he bled out, died. Jimmy saw that. He saw me catch wild raccoons alive. Saw me do a lot of shooting, trick shooting and everything. And he didn't know what in the world's wrong with me, because I never acted like this before. But I never saw a Nephilim before. I don't know exactly everything about it, except that it walked across the road in front of me. It was a Bigfoot. We got down there, and I said, "What'd you see, son?" He said, "Was it a deer walking on its hind legs?" I said, "No, it wasn't a deer walking on its hind legs." He said, "How about a bear walking on its hind legs?" "No, not a bear walking on its hind legs." We finally got down the corner right here, 264 and the Silver Peak Road, and I stopped there. He said, "Let's go back and look at it." I said, "No." He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I don't." He said, "You got a 44 Magnum landing seat." I said, "It's not big enough." All I know that this creature put off an aura of fear that I cannot explain. And I think that's what this is, right here. These things, you don't see them unless they want you to see them. The Bigfoot research, Monster Quest, everybody talked to me many times asking me about this. And they said they live up here, and they told me what they eat. They found scat and everything, and I said, "Well, I want to know something. What is this thing?" They said it's a Bigfoot. It's a what we call some type of an ape. I said, "I don't think so. I don't think it's an ape." I said, "It walks just like a man, except a man can't walk like that. Sure-footed and fast." And I said, "I want to know one thing." I said, "I've been in the woods all my life. I hunted lions, bear, raccoons, bobcats, all kinds of stuff, wild hogs." I said, "I've never been afraid. But this thing I was terrified of." And they said, "Well, that's normal." I said, "What do you mean it's normal?" They said, "Well, this thing has a telepathy that they'll pick the strongest person in a group and just terrorize that person. It will just put fear into them, just unbelievable fear." Now, these creatures are like supernatural creatures here. They're beyond human weight, beyond human height, and this thing is too. And it scared me to death. And they said, "It zapped you." And that's not uncommon. I talked to another friend of mine. And this friend, I think his name was Jerry. It's been a long time since I talked to him. He had an uncle that he went hunting with in, up by Washington, almost into Canada. And they go out and stay out for 2 months in the wilderness in a cave or something. and camp and kill elk and bear and whatever, lions. And they went up there. They've been going up there for years, this nephew and this and his uncle. And they went up there. Where are they going to go? And he said, get everything out. He took his rifle and he said, I'm going to go just scout around a little bit. He'd gone for about 20, 30 minutes. He came back just white as a sheet. He said, just absolutely. He said, let's go. What do you mean, let's go? We just got here. He said, let's go now. He wouldn't tell him anything. Let's load up and go now. 2 or 3 years, they had been going hunting every year, and he kept asking him, no, I'm not going. No, I'm not going. No, I'm not going. And finally asking him, he said, what in the world happened up there? What happened? He said, well, short, I saw Bigfoot, and I'm not going back. It terrified me. He said, we can't do any, we can't kill it. It's too powerful. Another boy, another Indian boy up there and in this area too, he was up hunting, deer hunting, and he ran on top of a Bigfoot. And he had a Model 94 Winchester 30-30, which held about 7 or 9 shots in it. Long barrel, 26-inch barrel with a full magazine. He saw the thing and fired every shot at that animal thing and ran off. He said, I didn't hurt it at all. Didn't hurt it. He came back with a friend of his to go back and get his rifle. He dropped his rifle and took off running. He went right up there where it was, and on the ground was all of his rifle bullets, but none of them had been fired. He thought he felt the recoil and everything else. He was such terror. These giants were powerful. Whatever a Bigfoot is, it's a supernaturally powerful person. It's a thing. I don't want to ever see one again. People say, I'd like to see one. I said, good luck. I said, I don't ever want to see one again. They told me when I was interviewed by Big Monster Quest, they told me, you're lucky. I said, I don't feel lucky. I said, you've never seen something like this. I said, it terrified me. Up here, a man by the name of Troy Shipley saw a Bigfoot with, I think, 5 other people. This way, up at the trailhead of Boundary Peak, where I used to live. Up there in the summer, I lived there for in the summer hunting wild horses, capturing them and training them. He saw one. It wasn't as big like mine. It wasn't the one I saw. And he saw it just jumping over the rocks and running and down, going through there. He said, boy, he said, that guy's an acrobat or something. Got a monkey suit on. Look at that, all the hair all over it. Anyway, they all finally realized what they saw, and they just looked at each other. Just looked at each other. He was a deputy police officer out of Reno, Carson City area. I met a man up there deer hunting this last year. I think his name was David. And he was up in that same area, way up there at the trailhead at Boundary Peak. And he was asking me about the deer and everything else, and I was talking to him about it. He said, I saw something today that I can't explain. He said, do they have brownish bears here? Brownish bears? And I said, well, yeah. He said, I was way up on this mountain, and I saw this bear walking on his hind legs. I think it was a bear, walking on his hind legs going down in the brush and just walked out on his hind legs on the other side. He said, did that brown bear walk on their hind legs? I said, well, I have seen brown bear up here, but I think what you're talking about is something different. He said, what? This guy, I told him I saw a Bigfoot. Marilyn, you were there. And he wanted to see one. He was going to shoot it. He had a 300 Winchester Magnum Thompson Contender rifle. I said, well, I think what you saw is what Troy Shipley saw up there about 7 or 8 years ago, 10 years ago. He said, "What's that?" And I said, "That's the Bigfoot." His hair like to stood on end. He was going to shoot one before. But when he thought he got that close to this thing, he started getting scared. He said, "You know what? I'm going to be up here for a week by myself. I don't know if I'm going back up there again or not." "I don't know about that." I said, "I thought you was going to shoot one." "Well, now, yeah, before I think I saw one." Wait till you see one, and you hope you don't. Because it's a whole different story after that. I was talking to a man yesterday. I told him about the Bigfoot. "How I'd like to see one." I said, "See one and then tell me you want to see it." It's like these Nephilim here. These are monsters. These are terrible creatures. But God gave them ability to kill them. I had a 44 Magnum sitting in the seat. 12 grains of Unique, 200 grain hollow points in it that I'd loaded. I have shot rabbits going down the road with a car running and the rabbits running with that pistol and rolled them. And I wouldn't have taken on that thing with both hands full of the same thing. I said, "Son, Dad, you got a 44 Magnum in the seat." I said, "It's not enough. It takes some supernatural power to take this thing down." And it took supernatural power for that God empowered every one of these men to kill all five of the giants. Karma, retribution, God's providence, God's protection. God took care of them. God took care of David. He used a man to rescue him. They slew the thing with a sword. I think it took more than a sword. I think it more than a 44 Magnum. More than a 50 caliber BMG. It takes God's help. Father, we send this message out. Father, please use it for your honor and glory. Thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for your word. Father, please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.